night. Well, I tell you, it's just good to just sit around and just begin to contemplate and think of the blessings God has given you and I. And man, we've got so much to thank God for, and we could take all the time this evening and just thank God for everything we can think of in our minds that He's blessed us with, and we wouldn't even begin to scratch the surface of all that God has done for us tonight. And we thank you so much for being here tonight. And you've been a blessing to us already. And to see these churches with us tonight from Liberty and Fairview and Peace Haven and Goshen Valley. And what a blessing it is. We've got that to be thankful for tonight, church. And we thank God for folks being with us tonight. And boy, it's a pleasure and an honor to have them. And I like to say it's good once again to have Brother Hoy Duncan in service with us tonight. And I want you to pray for him. Now, he may be a little raspy tonight, and don't know how long that he'll go. But I'll tell you what would make it an awful lot easier on him. Just because he gets quiet, don't you get quiet. Last night he got quiet and everybody else died on him. All right? I told him this when I was preaching in Ohio a couple of weeks ago. I said, guys, if the preacher's got to work the shout up for you, it ain't real. Well, I wish somebody'd amen me tonight. Son, you got to have somebody work it up for you. It ain't real. But God says, Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God which is within you. Yeah. See, it's your job to stir up your gift tonight that's within you, not his job to stir it up. You get behind him tonight and amen him and praise God. And I'll tell you, make it a lot easier on him to preach even if he is a little raspy tonight. So give it up for Hoy tonight as he comes.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 16. I told the preacher, this shirt is as close as I can get to Tennessee orange. Amen. So he wanted me to share that. But he mentioned my throat last night, and I looked up there, and I'll be honest with you, that's never happened to me before. Of course, I've never preached three nights in a row either. And I don't know if you noticed, but I get a little loud every now and then. A little bit. And when I looked up, my voice was gone. You guys looked, I guess the country saying is, you look like a mule looking at a new gate. And I figure I look like I've been kicked by the mule up here. So we'll do the best we can, but I do know this. I know God's given me this message for tonight. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. The Lord has given me this message to share with you, and I haven't preached it in a couple years. And I might be whispering it on the outside, but trust me, I'm shouting it on the inside. And so I'm going to ask Brother Eric to help us with something throughout the message. It might be a little different, but everything that's been said in the prayer room and everything that's been said through song is exactly what I'm going to share tonight. So I feel like Jeremiah tonight. I got a message burning in my heart. It's shut up in my bones. And I pray the Lord will let us get it out to you tonight so we can worship the Lord together. Acts chapter 16. And as I said, I may have to talk through most of it, but I'll be shouting it on the inside, and you pray for us. Acts chapter 16. And we'll be reading verses 20 through 25. Acts chapter 16, verses 20 through 25. Very familiar story. If you'd stand with us, we'll read these verses, and then we'll pray. Acts chapter 16, verse 20. We're talking about Paul and Silas here, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. That's a key phrase there. The inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now notice this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. If you'd pray for us tonight, we like to preach on, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord for a little while tonight. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you. We thank you for your blessings to us. God, we pray you touch our throat. God, that we could deliver, Lord, the message that you've given us to deliver. And God, I pray, Lord, that the spiritual will overcome the physical. Dear God, we pray. As we said, we know you've given us this message, And God, if it takes us all night to get it out, God, with your help, we're going to do it. We pray that you'd honor it and you'd bless it. Bless us with an altar service. I pray your people will worship you in spirit and truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Brother Sonny and I have a common friend by the name of Cal Ray Evans. And we were talking about him today. He's a great man of God. He oversees evangelistic outreach ministries. And about 3 years ago, he preached in the Smoky Mountain camp meeting on the subject of praise. And this is what he said in that message, if I could use some of that as an introductory material. He said, praise isn't what we do. He said, praise is what we are. Amen. Praise isn't what we do. Praise is what we are. Now, some might think that's a strange statement. But he backed it up with the Bible, as Cal always does. And he did it by doing two things. He did it by using the life of Judah, or the tribe of Judah. And he did it by using the life of David. Now, if you know anything about Judah, Judah was the largest of the 12 tribes. It was the tribe in the front when the children of Israel would go out to battle. And the word Judah means praise. You know what God said? God said the praise crowd is going to be the biggest crowd. He said the praise crowd is going to lead us into battle. And so, if you know anything about Judah, that's what took place. And so, I don't think it's a coincidence that in Revelation 5, John the Revelator was looking for someone who was worthy to open the book. And so he said, one of the elders said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. And John was referring to Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of praise. So Judah represented praise. Now, when we look at the life of David, David's life represented praise. And you think about this. The Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. Now, you ever wondered why he was a man after God's own heart? Because when you think about the sins that David committed, his sins seemed to be a lot more grievous than Saul's were. David committed murder. David was an adulterer. But the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Now, why do you think that was? Well, I think it was because he continually tried to praise God. He always had a desire to praise God. He had a continual passion for praising God. As a young shepherd, he praised God while he was watching his father's sheep. He praised God when he wrote the Psalms. He praised God with his harp. He praised God with his pen. He praised God with his sling. He praised God from a cave when he was on the run from Saul. He praised God from the palace when he was king of Israel. So he praised God all through his life. And the Bible says he started out praising God 3 times a day. And then it increased to where he praised God 7 times a day. And it got to where David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually come in my mouth. So David represented praise. Thus the statement, praise is not what we do. Praise is who we are. Now, let's take a look at 3 people in David's life and how they responded to him, or how they responded to praise. First of all, let's look at Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, after David slayed the giant, Saul began to hate David. And on more than one occasion, he tried to kill David. And so we would say that Saul tried to kill praise. Saul tried to destroy praise. And I'm telling you, church, if the devil's trying to do anything in our churches, it's destroy the praise of God's people. That's what the devil is trying to do. And the church has become a quiet church because the devil has killed our praise. But when the church of the living God loses her praise, she loses her identity. The people of God have always been a people of praise. So there's an attack on praise. The devil hates it when God receives praise. That was the initial beef that he had with God in the first place. The devil wanted to praise for himself. So Saul wanted to destroy praise. But then there's Michal, Saul's daughter, who was given to David in marriage in 1 Samuel 18. There was a time in Michal's life that she loved David. There was a time that she loved praise in 1 Samuel 18. In fact, she loved him so much that in 1 Samuel 19, she warned him that Saul's men were on their way to kill him. And she let David down through a window. So there was a time in her life where Michal defended praise. She looked out for praise. She warned praise when the enemy was coming. But look what happens. 20 years go by, and her feelings for praise start to change. You understand what I'm saying? There was a time where she defended praise. There's a time when she wanted praise, but something happened in her life. She started to get cold. And that's what happens many times in our churches, is there's a time where we used to want to praise God, but we start to get cold. And the next thing you know, we're not defending praise. We start resenting praise. We start despising praise. It starts to get on our nerves when people praise. And that's what will happen in our life if we don't stay close to God. What happens when a ministry, what happens when a person stops praising God? Michael's life shows you what happens. Michael, the Bible says, had no child until the day of her death. She despised praise. She stopped praising God, and she became barren and fruitless. I'm telling you, church, our churches will dry up if they get quiet and we stop praising God. So Saul tried to destroy praise. Michael despised praise. Oh, but I'm glad for Jonathan tonight. Jonathan in 1 Samuel 19, the Bible says Jonathan delighted much in David. Jonathan delighted in praise. Jonathan loved praise. In fact, Jonathan made a covenant with praise. Jonathan did everything he could to help David. And I thought, even tonight as they sang, don't you love people that praise the Lord? Don't you love to be around people that praise the Lord? Don't you love to see God's people lift holy hands to a God who's worthy to be praised tonight? And Jonathan loved praise. He made a covenant with praise. He made a promise to praise. And I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to make a covenant with praise? Are you willing to make a promise to praise that God, regardless of circumstance, regardless of problems, I promise I'll praise you all the days of my life. Amen. That's what Jonathan did. He made a covenant with praise. But here's a sweet thing. When you make a covenant with praise, I'm glad praise makes a covenant with you. When you shake hands with praise, praise shakes hands with you. You say, what are you talking about, Hoy? 2 Samuel chapter 9. Oh, David remembered there was a covenant that Jonathan made with him. And brother, when he made a covenant with praise, praise kept his covenant to David and to Jonathan. And little crippled boy Mephibosheth lived in the palace, lived in the king's quarters because somebody made a covenant with praise. That's what the church needs to do. If I don't do anything else, our church is going to make a covenant to praise the name of God. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord tonight. This is what I want us to do. Webster defines praise as to commend the worth of, to glorify God in song. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to praise during the message tonight. Brother Eric, I want you to lead us in the first verse of Amazing Grace. Sing it with us. Sing it with us. Let's just praise the Lord. Sing it to Him tonight. He's worthy. Let's just praise the Lord. He's worthy. Let's make a covenant with praise tonight. Let's stand up for praise tonight. Bless Him, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Saul tried to destroy praise. Michael despised praise, but Jonathan said, I'll take up for praise. I'll stand by praise. And I believe one of the greatest examples of praise in the Bible comes from our text tonight in Acts 16. I want to give you four things, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. First of all, tonight, praise is not based on our circumstances. Praise is not based on our circumstances. Look at Paul and Silas' circumstances. The Bible says they've been beaten with rods. There are stripes on their backs. They've been thrown into the inner prison. I heard one preacher say, who had been to this very site in Philippi, that the inner prison was a hole dug in the ground of a prison cell. It was the equivalent to their solitary confinement. And Paul and Silas were put down in this hole, and they would slap a gate over the top of the hole to cover it up. And that's where they were. The most grotesque of conditions. No ventilation. No provision for a place to use a restroom. In addition to that, they were in stocks that were like torture racks. They would take their legs and spread them as far as apart as they could. And they put them stocks, their feet, in those stocks rack. And here's Paul and Silas in the worst of conditions. But they're praying and singing praises to God. They're praying and lifting up praises to God. It's not how good we feel that should dictate whether we praise God or not. It's not whether everything's great in our life that depends on whether we praise God or not. And one of the biggest mistakes we as Christians make, we try to base on our praise based on how we feel. We try to base our praise on how everything's going well in our life. But listen, church, if we base our praise on how we feel, there'll be far too many times that the Savior who loves us won't get the praise that He deserves in His house. And if He doesn't get that praise in His house, He's sure not going to get it in the world. He deserves praise in His house. And we can't base it on our circumstance. We can't base it on every time we get a good doctor's report. Because you're not always going to get a good doctor's report. He's worthy of our praise in spite of circumstances. And this is what else happens in the church. I think we've misunderstood, we've misinterpreted God's rule for praise. This is what we say. We say, God, if you show up, I'll praise you. If I feel you, I'll praise you. But you know what the Bible says? You praise Him and He'll show up. You praise Him and He'll inhabit the praises of His people. Don't wait on Him to show up. He's here. You praise Him and He'll show up.
Amen.
We don't have to wait on Him. He's here. It's His house. We don't have to wait on Him. So it's in spite of our circumstances. I'll share this illustration with you. We had a dear saint of God down home whose name was Ethel Spencer. She's a faithful member to our church. She was in charge of our Good Samaritan ministry that ministers to the poor and the needy. She oversaw our ministry that does the Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. She suffered a horrible stroke. My wife and I went to the hospital to see her. And the stroke paralyzed her vocal cords. When we walked in to see her, she started to weep. She couldn't talk. When I walked in, she started crying. She patted her chest and patted to the sky. She patted to the chest, patted to the sky. You know what her daughter said? She's saying, praise the Lord. Patted to her chest, patted to the sky. She come up to me. She patted to me, pointed to her cheek. Pointed to me, pointed to her cheek. She said she wants a kiss. I kissed her on the cheek. She pointed to her heart. She pointed to us. She pointed to her heart. She pointed to us. She said, she's telling you that she loves you. About that time, her son came in. She hadn't seen her son for a long time. To be honest with you, he's unsaved. He needed Jesus. When he walked through that door, the tears bursted out of her eyes. She started clapping her hands, pointing here, pointing to the sky, pointing here, pointing to the sky. I told Faye, I know what she's saying. She's saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here she was, couldn't talk, almost an invalid, but she found a way to praise God in spite of circumstances. In spite of circumstances, we can praise God. Let's sing that second verse, Brother Eric. And I'm going to give you a chance to praise God in spite of your circumstances tonight. Let's sing it. Sing it for Him tonight. He's worthy. Sing it to Him. He's listening. Sing it to Him. He's listening tonight. Give Him everything you got. He's worthy. Give Him everything you got. Praise is not based on our circumstances. Secondly, praise is not conditional. True praise in its purest form is not based on a condition. Paul and Silas didn't try to make a bargain with God. Paul and Silas didn't say, Lord, if you get us out of this prison, I'll praise you. They didn't say, if you'll touch my relative or if you'll do this for my church or you'll give me this job, then I'll praise you. Praise is not based on a condition. True praise isn't. Here they are in these
stripes on their backs, the darkest of dungeons, the most disgusting of a condition. But the love they had in their hearts for Jesus caused them to sing the praises of God. Real praise doesn't have to be primed. Real praise doesn't have to be entertained. Real praise comes from the heart and there's no strings attached. Let me ask you tonight, does Calvary deserve conditional praise? Does the blood of Jesus deserve conditional praise? Does the grace of God deserve conditional praise? We ought to fall on our knees, on our faces tonight, regardless of condition, and say, God, whatever comes my way, You're worthy of praise. Amen. Amen. Praise is not based on conditions. Years ago, I talked with Brother Sonny last night about the surgery that my dad had. He had a brain pacemaker put in because he has Parkinson's disease. And the surgery went so great. God was in it from the beginning. And the Lord used it to do a great work in my dad's life. But part of the procedure, part of the testing that he had to go through was that he had to go for 72 hours without his medication before that surgery took place. For those of you that have family with Parkinson's disease, it deals with tremors. Your hands trim. Your legs trim. And even it gets to the point where your head will trim back and forth. It was terribly embarrassing for my father. So for 3 days, he had to go without medication. And it just happened to fall that the 3 days the doctor asked, because of when the surgery was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Sunday would be the 72 or 72nd hour without medication. So he couldn't come to church. He was brokenhearted because he was shaking so bad. To be up on the stage, it would have been humiliating. And I'll be honest, church, when I came to church that day, my heart was heavy. Because we were up there and we were singing, we were leading the services, and I know my dad wanted to be in the house of God. And I could just see him at home shaking so bad, waiting on this surgery. But I'll tell you what, Sonny, I'll never forget this as long as I live. They asked us to get up and sing. And the way our building is, when we're up on the stage, my dad's office is in the far right corner. And there's a door that goes from his office into the auditorium. And I'm telling you, we got up to sing. And when we started singing, I looked back and the light in that little office came on. And I looked back there and my mom and dad had snuck into his office to come to the house of God. And I looked back there and he's shaking like this. And he sat down in that office chair and he put it right up to there and he watched us sing and I watched him start getting blessed. The next thing I know, Sonny, he's standing up with both hands raised. We kept on singing. The next thing I know, he's walking around in the office because he can't sit still. We started singing. He's been such a good God to me. And the next thing I know, my dad busted out of that office, down the sidewalk, walking around the altar, praising God. Why? Because praise isn't based on conditions. Amen. And we all got bad conditions tonight. But I'm telling you, He's worthy of our praise. Praise doesn't happen. Here's what happens. We come to church and we say, well, if I hear my favorite song, I'll praise God. If my favorite singer sing, I'll praise God. Here's what's wrong with that. That song's going to get old to you. And those singers may not sing every time, but there will always be a Savior that died on the cross for our sins that deserves our unlimited, unconditional praise. Praise God. I sound like Kermit the Frog, but I feel good. Let's sing that third verse, brother. Through many dangers. Thank you for helping us, God. Thank you for helping us. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Paul and Silas didn't put a condition on their praise. They didn't say, God, if you get us out of here, we'll praise you. You know what happened? God got them out of there because they did praise Him. Amen. So praise is not conditional. Praise is not based on our circumstances. Number three, praise is not based on my company. Let me explain what I'm saying. Sometimes there's a tendency for us to base our expectations in the service on who's there and who's not there. See, we've seen this for years at our church down home. There'd be years where Dad maybe might be in revival, and he wouldn't be there. And you know what everybody would think? Well, Brother Roger's not there. God's not going to show up. Well, guess what happened one Sunday? God decided to show up when Dad didn't show up. And brother, I tell you this, I learned it don't matter if Dad's in Sefner, Florida, or in Glendale Springs, North Carolina. He'll show up if you praise Him. And what we say is we base our praise on what the next person does. There's some of you in here right now that wants to jump up and shout, but you're worried about what the person next to you might think. You're waiting to see this person shout. They're waiting you to see shout. Why don't we all shout? Praise God. Praise Him based on my company. You think about the company that Paul and Silas had. They're surrounded by criminals. They're in prison. There's prison guards. These men hated the name of Jesus, but they didn't let that stop them from praising. And here's what we forgot. We serve a God who's so awesome. He's made provision that if there's only two or three gathered in His name, He said, I'll show up. I only need two of you. I don't need 100. I need two of you, and I'll show up. And there, I'll show up in the midst if you praise my name. Praising based on my company. Listen, if I wait to see if Brother Sonny gets excited to praise God, shame on me. Brother, God's been good to me. He hasn't given my blessings to Sonny. He's given them to me. And brother, if He's given them to me, I say glory to His name. I know this. I'm not going to sit around and wait for somebody else to get blessed because God's been too good to me. So praise isn't based on our company. It is personal in blessing. So it should be personal in praise. Amen. Let's sing that next verse, the last verse. Sing it with all your heart. Go ahead, Brother Eric. When we've been there. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If praise is not based on our circumstances, and praise is not conditional, and praise is not based on our company, then hoy, what is it? Well, number four, and lastly tonight, you know what praise is? Praise is a choice. Yes, sir. That's all it is. Yes, sir. It's a choice. We come into God's house and we make the decision whether we're going to praise Him or not. And I'll say this. I'm glad I serve a God that don't make me to praise Him. Amen. I'm glad I serve a God that wants genuine praise. Amen. Oh, He'll kick me in the backside every now and then if I don't praise Him. But He wants me to want to praise Him. Amen. So praise is a choice. That's all it is. That's all it is for God's people. If it's not based on our circumstances or condition or company or who's here or my favorite psalm, it's a choice to praise God. And we can choose to praise Him wherever we want. It's a choice tonight. Simple. Our Lord deserves praise. And I'll tell you this. When it comes to choosing to praise God, if we haven't praised Him by ourselves during the day, before we get to church, we're probably not going to praise Him when we do get to church. Amen. If we haven't been praising Him through the day, there's no switch that gets flipped on when we come to church. Buddy, I'm glad I can praise Him in Walmart. I can praise Him at the ball game. I can praise Him in that little trailer. I can praise Him in God's house. I can praise Him anywhere I want to praise Him. And He deserves it, brother. He deserves it. It's a choice. Paul and Silas made the choice to praise God in those torture racks. Their legs spread apart as they can be. Their backs have been beaten. And I can't imagine what it must have been like. It's dark. It's dingy. It stinks. They don't know if they're going to live or die. The Apostle Paul looks over at Silas and says, Silas, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer? And Silas looks at Paul and says, all right. He begins to pray. Oh God, thank you that you watched over us. Oh God, thank you that you saved Paul. Oh God, thank you that you've let me come along with him on this journey. Oh, God, thank you that we know you're in control. And by the time Silas gets done and says amen, Paul's got tears coming down his cheeks. And he says, Silas, I believe I'll sing a little song now. And he clears his throat and he starts to sing. You say, Hoy, what do you think they sung? I have no idea. But I know this. A lot of times in the Bible, God's people would sing what's called the Hallel. Psalms 113 through Psalms 118. This is what some of the Hallel says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I imagine it was something like that they might have been singing. I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, if they can praise Jesus in a prison, we can praise Him in a beautiful sanctuary tonight. Amen. Praise is a choice. Amen. Praise is a choice. You say, Hoy, why are so many churches dying spiritually? Why is their praise being killed and destroyed and stamped out in churches? Because God's people have made that choice to allow it to happen. Amen. That's why it's happening. Amen. Very quickly, I want to tell you four reasons, four things that stifles our praise, four things that limits our praise, that hinders our praise. I'll just list them for you. Number one, unconcern. Unconcern limits our praise. Apathy, plain and simple. Some people just don't care if God gets praise. They just don't care. That's the number one thing, is unconcern. Number two, uncleanliness. We have sin in our lives. And if we have sin in our lives, we can't praise God like we should. The Bible says, who comes before the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. So uncleanliness stifles our praise. Unconcern stifles our praise. What else stifles it? Unpreparedness stifles our praise. What are you saying, Hoy? I'm saying, if we mean business about praising God, we better do some praying before the service starts. Amen. We better do some preparing before the service starts. I don't know how it is down here, but down home, they'll come screeching in 1 minute after service has started and screeching out 1 minute before it's over. If we don't prepare, there won't be any praise in God's house. We got to prepare ourselves. Unconcern, uncleanliness, unpreparedness. But I believe this is the biggest one. Unwillingness. We just don't want to do it. I don't know why. Maybe we're too proud. Because I tell you what, it is embarrassing to the flesh to lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I'm unworthy. It is embarrassing to the flesh. And some people just don't want to embarrass the flesh. Now, they'll embarrass it. They'll embarrass themselves to death at the ball game. But in God's house, for some reason, we get all dignified. Listen, church, He's worthy of embarrassing ourselves over. We embarrass ourselves over everything else. But I'll embarrass myself for Him. He embarrassed Himself for me when He hung naked on an old rugged cross. It's the least I can do for Him. Sometimes we're just too proud. Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we think, well, what if I get up and shout? What will that person think? You know what they're probably thinking? If he'd get up, I'd get up. Amen. What are you saying, Hoy? Praise is a choice. We're going to choose to praise Him or choose not to. I'll close with this. In 1987, my Aunt Jan, my dad's sister, was just about 45 years of age when she died of cancer. She loved the Lord. She traveled all over that part of the country, Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, singing. And they found a tumor on the left side of her face, about right here. They did the test and they said, we got to remove it surgically. So they go in, and as they were trying to remove the tumor, they cut a nerve in her face. For the rest of her life, the left side of her face drooped down. Aunt Jan was beautiful, beautiful. And it devastated her. It humiliated her. I mean, she couldn't even talk without lifting her mouth up. But I tell you what I remember about my Aunt Jan. It didn't stop her praise. Because I remember it had such an impact on me, Sonny. As a teenage boy, they'd call her to the stage to sing. And I'd watch my Aunt Jan. She'd go take the microphone. She'd hold the microphone in one hand. And she'd lift her face up with the other. And she'd sing the praises of God. And I'm telling you, church, I think, my goodness, if my aunt can lift her face in front of all these people and praise the name of God, how in the world should I not? How in the world should I not praise her? Well, she progressively began to get worse. They tried to do the chemo that didn't work. And she started to decline rapidly. They brought a hospice bed into her living room. And every morning, my uncle and my cousins would read God's Word to her. She loved the Bible. They'd read the daily bread and the Scripture to her. She'd sit there in that bed, and when they read, she'd say, "Calvin, let's pray." He'd pray. And she'd lift those bony little skinny arms up to the Lord and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, God." And what happened? She began to get weaker and weaker. She got to the point where she couldn't raise her hands anymore. But this is what she'd do. She'd say, "Calvin, I can't raise my hands anymore to praise Him." She'd say, "Calvin, you get them up." She'd say, "Calvin, get your hands up. Calvin, get your hands up and praise God. Calvin, get your hands up. Because I want God to know how much I love Him. Calvin, get your hands up. I want God to know that I know He's still in control. And I'm telling you, church, there's a God in heaven who looks down on His people. And you know what He's saying tonight? Get them up because I love you. Get them up because I saved you. Get them up because I've heard your prayers. Get them up because of Calvary. Get them up because of heaven. Get them up because I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I say glory to the Lamb. Get them up tonight because He's worthy." Praise is a choice. Praise is a choice. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on conditions. It's not based on who's here and who's not here. Praise is a choice right here, brother. Get them up for God if you love Him tonight. Bless Him, God. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord. Let me ask you tonight, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? There's something in your life that's holding you back. I don't know what it is. I didn't have no conversations with your preacher about who's doing what. But I told you, buddy, God gave me this message today. And I want to know, what is it in your life holding you back? Is it pride? Is it your circumstance? Are you making it conditional? What is it? Isn't Calvary worth throwing that to the side and doing what Jonathan did? Marking it down on this Thursday night. I'm going to make a covenant with praise. I'm going to make a promise with praise. I'm going to shake hands with praise tonight. And I'm going to make sure if no one else in this church praises God, I'm going to praise His holy name. That's what we need in God's house. It's a choice. Simple choice. Yes or no. Praise or be quiet. It's a simple choice tonight. But you know what God's saying? I've been good to you, church. I've heard your prayers, church. I sent my son to die, church. All I'm asking is that you get him up. All I'm asking is that you love me and give me the praise that I deserve. I want to do one last thing. I want us to sing for the last stanza of Amazing Grace. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand with me and lead us, Brother Eric?
Praise God. Praise
God. Get him up. Get him up if he's been good to you. Get him up if he's saved you. Get him up if he's heard your prayers. Get him up if you love him tonight. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy, dear Jesus. Thank you, God, for a manger. Thank you, God, for every stripe they laid on your back. Thank you, God, for when you got up from that tomb. Thank you, God, for every time you touched my babies when I prayed for them. Thank you for every time you saved somebody I prayed for. Thank you, God, I live in the United States of America where I can praise you anywhere I want to praise you. He's worthy tonight of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you that you've been here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for those praying for me down home. Praise God. We'll ask Eric to come and get us a song of invitation. You know, if we could just think through our hearts and lives at the things that we have to be thankful for. And so many times the little things go by and we don't even notice them. You know what God's allowed me to do this week with my throat? I wrote this in my journal today, Brother Sonny. He's allowed me to experience just a little bit of what my dad goes through every time he preaches. He's allowed me to understand just a little bit what it is to have some throat problems. And I had calls yesterday. My uncle called me on Monday. Said, I was thinking about you. How'd the revival go? Our church secretary called yesterday. I was thinking about you because I knew you'd be preaching tonight. A godly wife that's been faithful to me that called and said, I love you and I'm praying for you. Brother, that's worthy of praise in my book, son. God's been good to us. We'll sing if you need to pray. Maybe you want to come and say, God, light my fire so I can make a covenant with praise tonight. God, I want to be bold for you. I want to sing your praises. I want to shout your praises. I want us to have a church that's filled with the praises of God. If you want to do that tonight, we're going to give you the opportunity to come as they sing. Go ahead, Brother Eric. Would you come if the Lord has spoken to your heart?
Page 321.
I'm coming to make a covenant with praise. I'm coming, Lord, to give you the praise you deserve. I don't want my praise based on circumstances. I don't want my praise based on conditions. Praise is a choice, and I'm choosing to praise God. I'm choosing to praise His name.
Hear you not the invitations of
say to you tonight, one of the biggest lies the devil's convinced us of is that we can't have the fire of God in our lives. One of the biggest lies he's convinced God's people of is you got to endure the Christian life. But I'm telling you, brother, God's got something for us. If we'll praise His name, son, He'll light a fire that all hell can't put out, church. But listen, don't sit back there tonight and say, well, I'm just not that way. I just don't get excited. I guarantee you, if I followed you around for a day, I'll find something that you get excited about. Why wouldn't we get excited about the Lord Jesus? Why wouldn't we say, God, as good as you've been to me, I'm going to do my best to praise your holy name, to make a covenant with praise, to do everything I can to defend praise. If God's spoken to your heart, don't sit back and settle on what's in your soul right now when God can set it on fire. That's what revival's about.
Amen.
We're going to sing one more verse. If God's spoken to you, would you come and join these others and say, I'm going to join arm in arm with you, and we're going to have a church filled with praise. We'll sing one more verse, Brother Eric.
Hear you not the endless pleadings of your friends that wish you well, and perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet the God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone.
Let's pray tonight. God, we stop just a moment, God, just to praise you. God, you're worthy. God, help us, Lord, to always let praise be continually in our mouths. God, I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. But God, I want us to praise you, God, without conditions tonight. God, I want us to make a covenant, God, with praise tonight. We'll praise regardless of our company. Oh, God, and regardless of our circumstances, God, we'll just make a choice to praise you. God, the devil's lied to us, Lord, and told us it's just all emotionalism. He's lied to us, God, and said it's just fanaticism. He's lied to us, God, and he said, Lord, the modern church, God, it doesn't do that sort of thing. Oh, God, I pray, forgive me, God, for buying into the lies. Oh, God, I pray, let this be a house of praise every time we gather together, Lord. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, God, let this house be a house of praise. God, help us through the day, Lord, before we ever arrive, to be prepared, God. Lord God, we'll be prayed up and praised up, Lord, before we ever get here, Lord. And God, there'll be no iniquity and sin found in our lives, Lord, that would hinder our praise. And God, I pray if there's apathy there, Lord God, I pray, move it out, Father. Oh God, help us to be concerned with our praise. Thank you for your messenger tonight. Thank you for your divine touch tonight on his body. God, that he could present the message, Lord, to us. God, what a wonderful word you had for us tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the resurrection, God. And I thank you for the day that Jesus saved me. God, I thank you that I'm on my way to heaven. I praise your holy name tonight. Bless each one, Father, that's been here tonight, that's heard this message. Father, these churches that have come out tonight, God, thank you for them. But Lord, they've heard the message. Let them take this back to their church, God, I pray. And let their churches be houses of praise, God. Let them make the choice, God, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of the conditions, regardless of the company that they find themselves in, to gather together at their churches and make that a house of praise. And God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.